This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, past Labor Day and into the month of September, things beginning to shift a bit, and that means things happening with the Oregon State University Extension Service and the Farm Bureau. And Logan Bennett and Sarah Schwartz are in now. We're going to start out with Logan. So this time of year, you just heard the forecast. So I'm curious where that puts us in terms of some of the crops that our local producers are working on.
Sure. And good to see you, Kyle. this time of year, we are starting to get into the harvest of some of our permanent crops. So, for example, last week we started harvesting wine grapes, mostly white varieties first. Now we're heading into some of the reds. It kind of depends on what their bricks or their sugar accumulation is. So I think I heard some Pinots getting harvested already this week, and then they'll continue on with that through almost November.
And some of that harvest will depend in terms of the timing about the location.
Absolutely. So for a lot of wine grape varieties, what we're looking at is that sugar accumulation, also called bricks in the wine world. And when you reach the correct number, or as close as you can get to that correct number, it's time to try to harvest those as fast as possible.
All right, so that is underway. What about other crops?
Yeah, so hazelnuts will start dropping in about a month. We should be looking good, pretty good there. We're towards the end of blueberry season, so there might still be some blueberries being harvested, but it's starting to wrap up. And then for folks that are gardening veggies, if you plan to do a winter garden, it's time to start thinking about taking out the squash and tomatoes.
And what kinds of things can you plant going into winter?
For sure. There's actually quite a few different crops that we can grow. For example, I just started, I don't know, maybe 150 cauliflower seeds last night, broccoli, mustard, cabbage, that kind of thing.
Mustard?
Yeah. I'm growing two different kinds of mustard this year.
Somehow I've never really thought about the idea of growing mustard.
Yeah, I'm growing a red mustard and a green mustard. The leaves are edible on those. Of course, the seeds are too.
Red mustard?
Yeah, so it's called giant red. It should be 2 to 3 feet in diameter, and it produces giant red leaves.
And is that pretty common around here?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't run into a lot of folks growing mustard on purpose, but it does grow well around here.
Wow, interesting. That's funny. I've never really thought about mustard as being a crop. It seems to come out of a bottle.
Well, it is a crop, and that's also, you know, brassicaceae are all some kind of mustard. So broccoli, cauliflower, kohlrabi, they're all specialized mustard plants.
Now, for people that are looking around maybe their yard, maybe not an ag producer, but what kinds of things should they be doing now to kind of get ready for the fall that is allegedly coming soon?
For sure. So if you're planning on winter gardening, if you're going to direct sow anything, so for example, if you're doing leeks or spinach, now is a good time to think about getting started. Most of those recommend anywhere from 8 to 6 weeks before the first average frost date, and we're about 10 weeks away from that now. So think about where you're going to direct sow, maybe start out your lines, start picking out things that aren't producing as well anymore, or for example, like with squash, if you're overhead watering, you probably have powdery mildew by now. Might be time to take those out and get ready. If you're planning on doing transplants, a lot of the brassica family does transplants, collards, things like that. Get your seeds planted in the cells now if you haven't already.
What about in terms of plants, things that you want to be trimming?
For sure. So we're a little bit early to start pruning on most things, but keep an eye on those. Like, for example, blueberries are probably starting to turn red. When we're starting to lose those leaves, and when we get to dormancy, we'll start thinking about pruning a lot of those plants.
All right. A lot of information there. And timing really is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Plants are pretty forgiving, but if we mess up the timing on some things like pruning, it may cause the plants to grow slower. If we mess up the timing on things like seeding, it may cause the plants to stunt or not grow at all.
All right. And that's what people don't like is when they put all that work into it and they get nothing.
Yeah. We want to try to make sure you have as much success as possible.
All right. So you guys have a lot of classes and courses and things like that coming up with Extension. Take us through some of that.
Yeah. So kind of related to what we were just talking about, on September 13th, we're going to have a coastal crops class. So that'll be based in Winchester Bay. And we're going to be talking about success for berry growers on the Coast Range. So we'll be looking at the differences between that and the valley and how to succeed in growing things like blueberries and raspberries on the coast.
And what follows, or what is after that?
After that, we've got a class that's more local. We're going to be doing a growing winter veggies class at the Roseburg Farmers Market on September 27th. Like I mentioned, we got to get our starts in now. So I started a bunch of stuff last night for that class. We'll be giving away starts to folks who sign up. And we'll be talking about what you can plant, how you direct seed versus doing things from cells or starts, and how to succeed as much as you can in winter harvest here.
Now, have you done a class at Farmers Market before?
No, I'm really excited. This is the first time I've done a Farmers Market. The Roseburg Farmers Market came and invited me, and I got really excited about it. So we set up this class, and then another Farmers Market hit me up, and it sounds like we'll probably be doing another Farmers Market for garlic and shallots.
All right. Well, and a good place, you know, some people that would show up at those probably wouldn't think about taking a class until they're there, and then they realize that would maybe be a good idea.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be fun, and that we'll have folks that sign up and folks that just see what we're doing and get excited about it.
All right, so take us into October.
Okay, so for those of you that are looking for continuing education credits for your pesticide licenses, we have a weed management course coming up on October 9th. We're going to be covering all sorts of different weed management techniques. For example, I'm going to do a presentation entirely on physical and cultural removal of weeds, and we're anticipating, I think, 6 credits for that class.
All right. And what about emergency preparedness? I hate to think about extreme weather on the cold end and all the things that go with that, but it's something that you need to be ready for ahead of time.
Absolutely. that's coming from our Master Food Preserver program. They always come up with better names for their classes than I do. So that class is actually called Preparing for the Zombie Apocalypse Emergency Preparedness Workshop. And that's going to be on October 11th. They'll be talking a lot about how to preserve food and things you'll need if an emergency occurs.
And how do people get signed up for that?
You can check out the Extension Service website, Douglas County Extension, and we have signups for all of the classes we've talked about so far.
And what about, let's see, what else do we have in October?
We've got quite a few things coming up. We are still continuing the Pavilion series, so we're going to be doing a Growing Onions and Shallots class, and that'll be featured twice. It'll be featured on October 12th from 2 to 4 at the Discovery Garden, and again on October 16th from 10 to noon.
And what about farm and ranch management?
Yeah, so we're in partnership with OAT, which is the Oregon Agricultural Trust, and we're going to be doing a series on different farm and management practices and techniques. So the first one starts October 16th, and they run through January 8th. I think I'm doing the January 8th one, so we'll be doing a farm direct marketing in that. We'll also be looking at pasture and forages and a couple other topics, too.
And what else in October?
This one's really exciting. We haven't done this in our Extension office, at least with me before. We have a program called Clean Starts coming up. It's going to be on October 24th, and we're specifically looking at how to manage Phytophthora species in nurseries. So if you're a nursery manager, this is a really good class to attend. We're also expecting continuing education credits for this, but it's looking at different management methods, both chemical and non-chemical, on how to control Phytophthora, which is a pretty nasty thing.
And one more on your list for October, which I probably hadn't thought about.
The canning tuna class?
Yeah.
Yeah. So our Master Food Preservers can tuna every year. It's a really good skill to have, especially if you're a tuna fisher person. It can get quite expensive to have it canned, but we can show you how to do it. That's going to be on October 25th from 9 to 2:30.
And again, how do people sign up?
Yeah, so all of these classes are available to sign up for at the Extension website, so just Douglas County Extension.
All right, we're going to talk to Sarah Schwartz when we come back. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. We begin our back-to-school series tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. We've got about 11 back-to-back interviews with area school superintendents and leaders in education, and it all starts tomorrow on Inside Douglas County. Oregon State University Extension Service and the Farm Bureau in the spotlight today. Sarah Schwartz from the Farm Bureau, and you've got Ag Explorer Day coming up. Tell us about it.
Yes, so this October 1st and 2nd, we will be hosting somewhere between 320 and 350 fourth graders from around Douglas County. They're going to come out to the fairgrounds and learn about agricultural activities that happen here in Douglas County.
And who puts this all together?
So it's the Douglas County Farm Bureau, and then we have partners with Oregon State Extension, Douglas County 4-H, the Umpqua Valley Beekeepers Association, and then we have sponsors too, like the Oregon Sheep Growers Association and Oregon Cattlemen's Association.
And why fourth graders?
That's a really good question. We figured that that is a really good age for kids to still enjoy hands-on, and we didn't want to interfere with the forestry tour for fifth graders. We were concerned that if we did the same year, that, you know, schools would have to choose between one or the other, and so we wanted to, you know, we picked fourth grade. So yeah.
And again, how many kids come to this?
We're hoping for between 320 and 350.
So kind of run through some of the things you'll be doing.
So we set it up in a station setting. So the kids are in groups of 10 to 12, and they rotate through the stations. And so, like, Logan will be doing soils. We've got a gal that does cattle. The Umpqua Valley Beekeepers will be there with their see-through hives. So the kid, that is like a huge hit for the kids. They get to see all the bees milling around inside the hive and pick out the queen. We'll have sheep shearing. In the past, we've had a vet. We're hoping to have that as well this year. Last year they learned how to pull lambs that were in distress, which was really cool. And there were really great questions from that station.
And I imagine in something this, you know, with that big a group of kids, that there are some kids that are fairly familiar with all this, and then there's some that are just totally confused.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And there's fewer of the kids that know what's going on. Most of the kids have no idea anything about what they're learning, and so it's really great to see, you know, light bulbs go on. They're touching animals. They're you know, running their fingers through dirt. It's just a really cool hands-on experience for kids to be exposed to things that they don't get on a daily basis.
Because, I mean, so many kids don't necessarily equate in the case particularly of meat and poultry and all that, of it coming from an actual animal.
Right, exactly. And that is what our goal is to do, is to help kids and their families understand that, oh, this doesn't just come from the supermarket or the farmer's market. There is a process to getting it here. And we really want them to see that, oh, as they're riding the bus to school, those sheep and cows that are out in the field grazing do actually end up on their plates. And, you know, the hazelnuts that they see all over Douglas County actually are something that are edible and really good. And we grow a lot of them here.
And sometimes, though, at least for a period of time, when the light bulb goes off and they understand the cattle in the field and what they suddenly they
and
become
the hamburger.
They have become vegetarians very quickly, at least for a while.
Yes, I mean, sometimes there are some tears and some, like, oh, you know, very sad experiences, but you know, for those of us that raise animals, that is life, and it is the circle of life, and we you know, you kind of need to know where that food comes from.
How many folks around the area are involved in doing just that, producing animals for food?
Oh my gosh, that is an excellent question. And there is a ton of them. I have no idea.
But probably more than people expect.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Now, again, what's the date for the Ag Explorer Day?
It's October 1st and 2nd, so that's a Wednesday and a Thursday. And we have morning sessions and afternoon sessions. And if teachers want to sign up, we do still have openings. They can call me, call or text me, 541-817-2252.
And do you tend to get schools from all over the county?
Yes. We have Camas Valley and Dage Creek and Looking Glass and Geneva. I'm still waiting on a few other confirmations, and we have a whole batch of homeschoolers that want to come. So we take anybody and everybody that we can fit in. So.
And then kind of the logistical end is up to each individual school in terms of getting kids there and all that.
Yes. They have to bus their kids there, and they do have to pre-register because we have limited spots, but they bus their kids there. The Sutherland and Roseburg FFA kids will act as their tour guides around the event, and then they bus their kids back to school afterwards.
And where did you say you're doing this at?
At the Douglas County Fairgrounds.
Ah, okay. So, and then what do you do? And is it all day?
It's a half day. Well, the volunteers will be there for all day, but we have a morning session and afternoon session, so the kids are only there for half a day.
So you're kind of presenting the same material twice if you're doing what you're doing, but for the kids, then they're out of school for about half the day.
Yes, exactly.
And what's the response to kids after they go through that?
Oh, the kids absolutely love it. And we also do a really fun goodie bag that each kid goes home with. There's educational material in there, that like little newspapers on sheep and soils and cattle and dairy. But they also, and the really fancy honeybee workbook, which is amazing. But they get stickers, and they get pencils, and they get beef jerky and hazelnut snacks and honey sticks and all sorts of fun stuff. So, you know, grab bags are always entertaining for kids.
So again, how do families get their kids signed up, or get their teacher to get them signed up?
Yeah, so the teacher needs to contact me, and they can call or text 541-817-2252. And I need to know numbers of kids and what session, what day, morning or afternoon they are interested in.
All right, Sarah Schwartz from the Farm Bureau. We're going to pull Logan Bennett back in now to talk about a few more things with Extension, because I see you're already planning things into November.
Yeah. Well, with the Extension Service, we typically plan things as far forward as we can. So I've already got things going for next year, but I figured we didn't want to talk about those quite yet.
Yeah, no, it's a little far out there. So what do you have in November?
Yeah, so we've got a sourdough starter class going on November 1st. So if you are interested in learning how to start sourdough or keep sourdough alive, that's a good class. Following that, on November 8th, we're going to have a class on water bath canning. So if you've never water bath canned before, you're interested in making jams and jellies, that'd be a good class to attend too. And then November 19th, we're getting pretty far out there, we are going to do a class on aquatic weed management.
I want to ask you about the sourdough. A lot of people love sourdough bread. Very few people know how to actually make it. How complex is that process?
I think the more complex part is keeping your starter alive, so you have a living organism that makes the sour part of your sourdough. Call it a sourdough starter. And as long as you keep that healthy and fed, the bread part can be relatively easy.
And what's the process of getting from point A to B?
Most of the time you get your starter from someone else. They usually have names. And then I was trying to come up with one of the funny names that people have named their sourdough starters, but of course, because I'm on the radio, I'm drawing a blank. But those are kept live usually in the refrigerator. They have to be fed with certain things. And then you take that starter out, and you actually inoculate the bread you're going to make that sourdough.
Wow. Again, like some of this other stuff, there's a lot more to it than just going into the retail outlet and picking it out.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I don't have an exact number for producers in Douglas County, but I can tell you that over 500,000 people in Oregon are involved in agriculture one way or another.
Wow, that's not a big surprise when you really think about it, because there's so many different parts that are tied to ag.
Absolutely.
All right, just about ready to wrap up Inside Douglas County for today. A lot going on, a lot of information there. And again, if people want to get signed up or get more information about Oregon State University Extension, any of these upcoming classes, seminars, and all that, what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, you can check out the Extension website. You can shoot me an email at logan.bennett@oregonstate.edu, or you can give me a call, 541-236-3015.
All right, Logan Bennett from the Oregon State University Extension Service, Sarah Schwartz from Farm Bureau as well. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.